Well, good afternoon and welcome. Good to see everybody. Once again, take out your Bibles, follow along, make certain that what we're learning is from God's Word. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 10 here in a second. But first, I want you to look in Luke. So Luke chapter 4. Verse 25, Jesus says, "But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." And everybody got really upset at that because Jesus just said, back in the prophet's time, in Elijah and Elisha, there were people that weren't Israelites that were healed when the Israelites weren't. Why? Why the difference? Now, they're all upset because they feel like the Israelites should deserve the great treatment from God. And I don't know what they're upset about. This is the way God had already treated them, and they had a faith in it. But what was the difference? Why was it this widow received blessings from God, and this leper received blessings from God, and nobody else did? And the answer is very simple. Their faith. It was their faith that made all the difference. Their faith in trusting Elijah and the message that he gave and receiving him. The faith that Naaman had in coming to Elisha to be healed, while the others apparently just didn't bother to come. Well, I want to look at another example where you have a crowd. You have people that have needs, everybody does. But it seems that only one person receives the blessings of God. It's under the circumstances in which Jesus has headed up to Jerusalem. He has told his disciples specifically, here's why I'm going. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be killed. 3 days later, I'm going to be resurrected. And they had no idea what he meant. But Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. He is currently at the lowest point on earth. He is well below sea level. And what is in front of him is these towering cliff walls that he is going to be climbing up through to get to the city of Jerusalem. He's at Jericho. And he's surrounded by people, and we know that because one of the things that's told us in Luke is that it is under these circumstances that there's this guy named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is this short little guy, right, who has to climb a tree. Why? Because he wants to see Jesus, and there's this great crowd around Jesus. And so here you have this great crowd following Jesus, and only one person that we know of that's healed. And his name is Bartimaeus. And I want to look at Bartimaeus' conversion, healing here in Mark chapter 10. Starting in verse 46. "Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him here.' So they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take courage, stand up, he is calling for you.' Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, I want to regain my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go, your faith has made you well.' Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road." And so here, while there's this great crowd and there's all these people, it's only Bartimaeus that's recorded as having received any of God's power right there, as having been healed. And we wonder what made him so different. And Jesus gives us the answer, right? Jesus says right there, it's your faith that made the difference. Oh, if we could just grasp that concept. It is always faith that makes the difference. Whether we're under the Old Testament time or the New Testament time, it has always been faith that God has looked for in us. Specifically, I want you to consider 4 points of his faith that really separated him from all the rest of the crowd to where he receives the healing that the others were not receiving. And the first is that he had a faith that cried out for help. He had a faith that recognized his own problems that he was in need and that there was somebody who could help him, and so he cried out for help. I'm reminded in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 when Paul is told to be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And in Hebrews chapter 4, how we're supposed to go to the throne of grace and we're supposed to call for help. We're supposed to find mercy at His feet. I wonder how often we struggle with the things that are going on in our lives because we don't have enough faith simply to say, God, please help me with this problem. But that was a faith that separated him, that got him the help he needed, and the others didn't. A faith that cries for help. A faith that will not be silenced. Did you notice how the others, it says in verse 48, many were sternly telling him. Remember, he's blind. What's that like for a blind person to have a bunch of people surrounding you? You can't see them, but you can hear their voice sternly saying, be quiet! And would he? Oh, that we had the faith that could not be silenced. That when the rest of the world says, we don't want to hear about your faith. We don't want to hear about your belief that Jesus is the Son of David, or that He can have mercy on you, or that He can help you. We don't want to hear it. Oh, that we would have the faith that would not be silenced. Revelation 21 and verse 8, the first group of people that are described as not entering into heaven are those who are cowardly. Those who do not have the courage to speak out. In Acts chapter 4, when the apostles are arrested by the authorities, and the authorities are telling them, be quiet. We see their great faith and they're separating themselves, in which they say, when they'd summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And they made their decision. They would not be silent. That's the kind of faith God wants to see in us. A faith that won't be silenced, no matter how many people, no matter how strongly they say, be quiet. And a faith that knows the real problem. I think this is the most impressive thing about Bartimaeus. When Jesus finally calls Bartimaeus to him and they say, hey, take courage, it's okay, Jesus is going to talk to you. He comes to Jesus and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? What's Bartimaeus doing? I mean, it's already told us that back in verse 46. Bartimaeus is a beggar. He sits in front of the streets, he sits in front of Jericho, and everybody who walks by, he just asks for money. And so now he has somebody who's given him his audience saying, what do you want? Well, what do you ask for? Most likely he's hungry. He doesn't have a job, he's blind. He doesn't have a source of income. He needs food. But he doesn't ask for food, and he doesn't ask for money. He recognized the real problem. No excuses, nothing else. What I want is vision. And that's what Jesus gives. It is of great benefit. I don't know why I have Acts chapter 4 out there twice. I wanted Acts chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, which we have another beggar who's at the temple, and he gets the apostles' attention, and we see exactly what he's thinking. He's thinking, I'm going to get money. Bartimaeus should have been thinking, I'm getting money, I'm a beggar, that's what I'm here for. Instead, what he gets is power. And he gets healed. He is made whole. What's your problem? We have excuses. The reason why we don't grow, the reason why we don't learn the way that we should is because we're so busy and there's all these things that are going on in our lives. We're full of excuses. We blame other people. This is why I'm not a Christian, is because there's so many other people with problems. You know what? If we really want to separate ourselves, if we really want the power of Jesus, we really have to recognize our problem. And our problem is sin. That's what's really wrong. It's not other people. It's not other circumstances. It's not, I had to because of this. It's because we sin. That's all there is to it. And if we would just call to God and say, that's what I want. I want forgiveness of sins. That's the faith that separates. Fourth thing, the faith that separates is a faith that knows God's power. He had this recognition that said, Jesus can take away my blindness. How many miracles had he seen to make him believe that? That's the interesting thing about Bartimaeus is we know he hadn't seen any miracles because he can't see. The only reason why he believed is he had been told and he believed what he had been told. He's just like us. We haven't seen those miracles. We haven't seen all the things that Jesus did, but we've been told. And do we have the same faith? Do we have the faith in God's power that when God asked him, what do you want? And he said, I want to see. When God asks us, what do we want? Will we say, I want forgiveness of sins and believe he's the one who can do it? He's the one that will do it. That's the faith. It's such a simple little message, but that's the faith that God wants. Now, I could just be wrapped up and we could have the invitation song. Dennis has pointed out that I went long this morning. I could go much shorter this afternoon. I still intend to go shorter, but I have one more thing I want to point out. Okay, so we have Bartimaeus and he's got this great faith and his faith is revealed in these four things. But it's about Jesus. Bartimaeus had this faith. Bartimaeus was this person before, the day before, he just didn't get his vision. He was this way the day before that, he didn't get his vision. What changed was Jesus came around. And Jesus is the one with power. So here is Jesus, and he's walking through this crowd. I don't know about you, but I do not like shopping the day before a snowstorm. I don't really like shopping the day after Thanksgiving, unless it's like 5 in the morning and nobody else is there, but that doesn't happen. They're there. I don't like shopping in crowds. I don't like them pressing against me, but Jesus is always being pressed against. He's got this crowd always pushing against him, walking to where people have to climb trees just to be able to see him. He's walking to Jerusalem, where he is going to be betrayed by one of his closest friends. He's walking to Jerusalem where the people that he came to save are going to cry for him to be crucified and let some sinner, some wicked man, be freed in place of him. And here's Bartimaeus who just keeps crying out, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. In Matthew 20 and verse 34, it reveals two differences to this account with Bartimaeus. One is Bartimaeus wasn't alone. There was somebody else there. And the other, it records, as this man is crying out, and Jesus has heard him say, I want my eyes to be open. In verse 34, it says, moved with compassion. Bartimaeus is blind and Bartimaeus has faith. Jesus is the Lord and Jesus has compassion. And I want you to keep in mind the context in which Jesus had compassion. So if we do our timeline, what we're looking at is Jesus is going to get to Jerusalem and about a week after getting there, he is going to be killed. He is below Jerusalem. He's on his way there. We're looking at about 2 weeks. About 2 weeks before his death, and he knows it. And here's this blind man, and he has compassion on a person, on a human, despite the fact that those people that are around him, at least some of them, will join the crowds and say, crucify. These people around him, these filthy, horrible humans, are going to call out for his rejection, call out for his pain, call out for his humiliation, call out for his death. And he still looks at them with compassion. He still looks at us with compassion. You want to be like Jesus? He just shows us an example of overcoming evil with good. Romans 12 and verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Matthew 24 and verse 12 warns us that because lawlessness increases, many people's love will grow cold. Jesus just showed us his love didn't grow cold, and he overcame all the wickedness that was in the world with the compassion that we're supposed to have. And he just set the example. So people have hurt you? Have compassion on them. Love them back. Jesus looks at this man and has compassion despite the fact that he is facing imminent pain and humiliation. I'm not really fond of my death. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know how I'm going to die, but thinking about my death never makes me go, yippee. I'm not excited about it. I kind of hope that it's one of those deaths that's pleasant, you know, where you just kind of all of a sudden wake up dead because you don't know what happened. I'm kind of hoping for that one, right? Could you imagine if you knew this is my death? In just a few weeks, I'm going to have nails through my hands and through my feet. I'm going to have my back torn to shreds. I'm going to have spikes in my head, and I'm going to be bleeding profusely. I'm going to have people spitting at me, hitting me. I am going to be going through immense pain in front of everybody. What would you be thinking about as that time came closer? But Jesus sees a blind man, and he doesn't say, hey, I'm about to die. He has compassion. And we're told to let Jesus be our example. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse negative 5, according to the slide, verses 3 through 5, it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're seeing it right here. Jesus is getting ready to die. He's getting ready to feel that immense pain. And what does he see? He sees a blind man, and he feels compassion. And that's what we're supposed to do. Don't get caught up in your world. Don't get caught up in your pain and your struggles and your worries and your stresses. Don't get so caught up in those things that you do not have compassion on the people around you. That's what Jesus just showed us. And Jesus just showed us endurance and compassion. He is nearing the end of his ministry. I mean, he is right there. The ministry was begun back in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24. It talks about how Jesus is beginning his ministry. He starts it off with a bang. He's performing all these miracles. Well, what naturally is going to happen when Jesus is healing people? People that are sick are going to start coming to him. People that are sick are going to need to be brought to him. And we see that happening all the time. He's inside a house. Somebody takes off the roof so that they can bring somebody down in front of him to heal him. We see Jesus always finding people that needed to be helped. People were coming so far away, and so many of them that he couldn't even get into the cities. He couldn't get into the towns because there were people constantly saying, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. You ever get tired of that? Get tired of the constant requests? I have a confession to make. Bonnie and I have decided to get off of the call lists of the people that are constantly asking for donations. I don't know, at some point we donated to somebody. I'm not saying that to brag. I don't remember when it happened, but apparently we got on a list. And it is constantly called lupus. You would think I should be able to name all of these things, because constantly we were getting called about these things. And you know what? I like what they stand for. I got tired of being asked. They wore me out by asking. For years. Daily, constantly, people begging Jesus for help. And here's one more. And he doesn't look at this one more person and say, oh, another one. He had compassion. And we are told to never grow weary in doing good. No matter how often you've been asked, no matter how many times you've had to help, never grow weary. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, it says, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Let us do good. But the best part about this is the invitation. That, to me, that's the best part. Are you a Bartimaeus? Are you broken? Perhaps you're like Bartimaeus and it's out for everybody to see. Everybody knows what you've done. Everybody knows your flaw. And I want you to know something about the Jews. When they saw somebody who had problems, even Jesus' disciples would ask, who sinned that this man would be born blind? Whose fault is it? If you had a blindness, somebody looked at it and said, this is your fault. It was a shame to have blindness. It was a shame to have leprosy or any other disease. These people looked at them as broken because they had this. They were sinful. Are you broken? Do you have a problem in your life, a sinful problem that the world is well aware of out in the public for everybody to see? Or perhaps it's private and nobody sees it, but you know how they would respond. Even the disciples of Jesus. Do you have something in your life that even the church, even the people around you that should be compassionate and merciful, righteous people, they look down upon you and they can't stand you and they want you to be quiet? Are you like Bartimaeus? I hope so. Because all you have to do is cry out and keep crying out, and He will answer. And He will have compassion even when no one else will. And He will heal. And what was the last thing we saw Bartimaeus doing in Mark chapter 10? He followed. He didn't follow the crowd who had rejected him, who had ignored him, who had sternly told him to stop. He didn't follow them. He followed Jesus. So I don't really care how the world has treated you. I don't really care how the people in the church have treated you or might treat you. What really matters is how Jesus will treat you. So won't you come to Him and say, Lord, have mercy. Now, He has asked us to do certain things, and they're not complicated and they're not difficult. He's asked us to believe in His name, to believe in His resurrection, to repent of our sins, to confess our faith in Him, and to be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins. And we give you an opportunity to do that. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, you have opportunity to come back. But you've got to cry out. You've got to seek help. He'll give it. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?